You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Will you please pray with me and pray for me, O God? I pause right now, thanking you for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word. I ask, O God, that on this day you would hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Be pleased, O God, with all that I think, say, and do in this time. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first time I lost a home was when I outgrew my sandbox. The sandbox, that place where a child is royalty. The sandbox, that place where imagination often takes flight. The sandbox, that place where a child may not or does not have to worry about the loss of SNAP benefits or adults wanting to argue about withholding food from those who are hungry. No church. The sandbox is often a safe place, a haven. When I was a child, my favorite place in the whole wide world was the sandbox. My parents were constantly arguing with one another, and even though my brothers and I knew that we were loved, the tension in the house was thick, very thick. My brothers and I would look for anything as Calgon once said, take us away and help us escape. For me, my escape came in the sandbox. When I was in the sandbox, I was a pirate or Sinbad, sailing the seven seas or sharing the backcourt with Walt Clyde Frazier as a starting member of the New York Knicks, or even Michael Jackson or a skinny James Brown, working the crowd with my moves and, yes, even the cape. I could go anywhere mentally while I was in the sandbox, and I felt a certain level of safety in the sandbox. I controlled who I listened to, who I talked to, and who were my playmates in the sandbox. My time in the sandbox was a time I will never forget because I was young, naive, and innocent. However, eventually I grew up. And I had to step out of my sandbox. I grew up and I found myself in positions where I could not ignore the people around me any longer. I grew up and I realized that there is a whole world outside of my sandbox. And to use the imagery of Sean Yesayan, when I grew up, I lost a home. I lost a home. Our word for today is that it's time for us to leave our sandbox and learn to play in God's sandbox. In our gospel lesson, Jesus has entered Jerusalem and he has cleaned out the temple and begun teaching the people about the kingdom of God, what it looks like, how it functions. He has also done something else. There's a group of church leaders who are upset with Jesus. I'm not talking about upset where they circulate petitions or email the district superintendent or even call the bishop's office. These good church people were so upset with Jesus that they were trying to figure out how to kill him. Now that's mad. These church leaders were split into two groups, Pharisees and Sadducees. I could spend a lot of time talking about our cousins, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I could talk about the fact that both of these groups were part of the ruling Sanhedrin, who the Romans allowed to rule over the Jewish people. Or I could even talk about the fact that the Sadducees were by-the-book leaders. By-the-book leaders. Let's talk about by the book. You may know of what I'm talking about when I say buy the book. If it's not in the book, I'm not buying into the book. Sounds good, doesn't it? The only problem is that these good church leaders, unlike the good church leaders of today, interpreted the scriptures in a manner that proved their truth and not necessarily God's truth. These leaders, these sources of wisdom and knowledge, could make the scriptures say whatever they wanted the scriptures to say, and not necessarily what God said, but what they wanted. What they wanted. I'm glad we don't do that today. Our cousins, the Sadducees, had found their comfort zone. They had found their own little niche, if you will. They were in their sandbox, and their sandbox was the only game in town. I know that no one here is like this, but there are some people that I've read about in other places who don't really want to hear the truth. These people in other places are concerned with one thing and one thing only, and that is attempting to stump, stifle, or should I say replace what saith the Lord with what saith moi. That's French. Our cousins, the Sadducees, are doing the exact same thing. They take the question about a woman married to seven brothers and turn it into General Hospital. Now, for those who may not know, because there's some young folk in here, General Hospital was a soap opera. The Sadducees don't really give a hoot about the answer. These special people are not concerned with the truth. They just want to let everyone know that they do not believe in the resurrection. Unfortunately, too many of us do the same things that our cousins did, you know, searching the scriptures high and low to prove our point. To prove our point. Using the word of God to hate our siblings, to judge our siblings, to accuse our siblings, to declare war on our siblings, to deport our siblings. We have been in the sandbox for too long, and it's time that we learned how to play in God's sandbox. In our lesson, Jesus peels the covers back and reveals the truth to the Sadducees. There are two distinct times or ages. There is the here and now, and then there is that which is to come. There is the way things are, and the way things will be. I like to say this, Jesus was an evolutionary revolutionary, preaching a new world order in a new age, and I'm glad that he did. The Sadducees believe that life in the kingdom of God will be just like it is now. I hope not. They tried to place the glory and the majesty of heaven within their sandbox or their understanding, but Jesus teaches us that those things that we encounter in this age or today will not be present tomorrow. And I'm glad. I said, I'm glad that I won't have to deal with disease tomorrow. I'm glad I won't have to deal with heartbreak and heartache and sorrow and death and emotional issues and anger and the isms that are associated and tied to all the phobias tomorrow. I'm glad that there's a place that's outside of my sandbox. We are blessed to be part of a faith community. Our God has blessed with 188 years of life. And while 188 years is something special, because I know some churches that could not last 188 days, the truth is that in 188 years, this church has had some good times and some not so good times somewhere in our past, whether because of the Great Depression or the Great Recession or an influenza epidemic or even COVID, their times have not always been great. And there was a time when, believe it or not, our church was slated to be closed. I wasn't here at the time. I wasn't even a thought in my mother or father's eye. But I can surmise that these obstacles may have led or fed into us being in a sandbox that did not allow us to love even the least of these, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, welcoming strangers, and caring for our sick and more seasoned and even young people. I think about last year's anniversary theme for the church of parking outside in 2025. And I think about this year's stewardship theme, focusing on hopes and dreams, using the passage from Isaiah 54:2 that says, "Enlarge the sight of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." And the truth is, we have got to get out of step with what makes us comfortable and get in step with God. The times have changed, the attitudes have changed, and the people have changed. Now, either we change with the times, or we become a relic, a mausoleum, a museum, and not a place where the sick can come and be healed, where the lonely can come and find peace, where those who are hurting can come and find some sort of joy. We can either be the church working in God's sandbox, or we can become a place where good Christians go to die. Let me get back to the lesson. That's a little heavy. After Jesus talks about what was and what will be, he teaches these Sadducees a lesson using their own scriptures. Remember, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection, and they use the Torah or the law of Moses to prove their point. In the mind of the Sadducees, if there is a resurrection, then the woman would have to choose between seven husbands, because this is what Moses taught. However, not only does Jesus tell us that we are putting human expectations on a heavenly kingdom, but also all too many times we try humanizing God. And what we really enjoy is that Jesus is using Moses to reveal the truth here. When Moses meets God, you Bible scholars, in the third chapter of Exodus at the burning bush, I'm not going to shout, God introduces God's self as the I am, not the I was, the I am. God tells Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God doesn't say, "I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." This tells all of us that there are heroes of the faith that are coming back. And if the heroes of the faith are coming back, then there must be a resurrection. And when Moses asked God, "How to identify you when I go back to Egypt?" God tells Moses that his name is "I am that I am," not "I was who I was." I sometimes think we forget what Jesus taught, that God is a God of the living and not of the dead. God is the living God for a living people. God is not a dead God. And if we believe the promise that one day we too shall come back and live in glory, then we've got to believe in the resurrection. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. This is a promise from Jesus. And if we believe the promise, then death is temporary. Trying to teach something here. There's something, there is somewhere, there is someone on the other side. My grandmother used to say, we are not a today people, we are a tomorrow people. We can bear the heat of today because we know tomorrow's going to be better. I'm not going to start shouting. This is a tomorrow promise, and I'm glad that there is a tomorrow. I'm glad that there will be a time when we will no longer live in darkness, where we will no longer be suffering, where people will not be forced to decide or choose between food and medications. I'm glad that there's a place in another time where what I was is not who I am, and what I used to be is not judged on who I am now. I'm glad today that God is the I am and not the I was. I'm glad that the I am is not restricted to the boundaries of my world and my narrowness and my ideas of who God is. I'm glad that God is an I am God and not an I was God. I'm glad that God is a God who taught us and is with us right now while we're hiding in our caves and facing all of our storms. I'm glad that God is a God who just wasn't with us yesterday, but is with us today, and thank God will be with us tomorrow. I'm glad that when I try to live a holy life and the devil gets busy in my life, that God will be with me. That's the promise. I'm glad that when I try to love the way Jesus loved and the world talks about me, that God will be with me. That's the promise. I'm glad that when I'm trying to walk with Jesus and the devil tries to cut in and trip me up, that God will be with me. That's the promise. I think that there may be some people listening today who think that you're all alone in whatever it is that you're facing. We think that God is too busy to see about little old me. We think that God is too far away to bring us peace. But I need to tell you that God is a God of the living and not the dead. You may think that your spirit is dead, but it's just on life support. Somebody needed to hear that. You may think that your lifestyle is too horrible, but as long as you draw breath and trust in the living God, nothing is impossible for God. The labels and the tags that the world has attempted to place on us are not of God. God doesn't look at us and see someone who's worthless or helpless or hopeless, or trash. God is a God of the living and not the dead. And what the world may see and claim as trash, God has already seen and claimed as treasure. And someone listening today needs to learn how to play in God's sandbox. Are you ready? I mean, are you really ready? To all I offer shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.